Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. We are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle and Johnny Cakes Auville. Joining us right now on the BetQL guest hotline, Bet Smarter and Beat the Books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. It's Kevin McCarthy. And Kevin, before you came on, I was wondering, what's the bigger movie day? Thanksgiving weekend or Christmas?
I mean, they're both big. I'm reviewing five movies for you guys today. So, like there's a lot of stuff coming out. And then, yeah, Christmas is obviously a big one, too. What they do with Christmas sometimes, like when you're trying to get an Oscar, you have to run your film in a theater in New York and L.A., I think, for a week. So sometimes you'll see, like, a film hit theaters in, like, just New York and L.A. and Christmas, and then it'll eventually come out where we are in January. That's just because they're trying to get it in the calendar year before the Oscar deadline.
So but I feel like go to see the movies for Christmas than on Thanksgiving.
I mean, it's interesting because – like Thanksgiving, yeah, I mean, I would argue it also depends on the day of the week these things fall on sometimes. Like, I think Christmas this year, I want to say, is a Saturday or Sunday, and I think it's a weekend this year. So, Thanksgiving, people do like to eat a bunch and then, you know, go to a movie on Friday. I mean, I don't know if you want to go out on Fridays anymore with, like, you know, all the lines and stuff like that. I don't know. I feel like we're a changing movie society in terms of, like, how we're consuming content, clearly with the streaming options, but we're obviously seeing with the box office what movies people are willing to go out and see, which are like Top Gun type films and like horror movies that are doing really well. These dramas and the more smaller films don't seem to be latching on.
Yeah, She Said was a bust, and I think you gave it a 4 or 4.5.
4.5. Yeah,
She Said did nothing at the box office, which was about the Harvey Weinstein situation. All right, let's get into the movies since you say you got five. I saw your interview, or at least part of your interview, with Steven Spielberg. The Fablemans is about his love of movies, right?
Yeah, so Fablemans, this is one of the best films of the year. It's currently probably going to be the front runner for Best Picture. Spielberg might win Best Director. And this is basically based on Spielberg's life, his childhood. So they're called the Fablemans in the movie, but it's basically the Spielbergs. Paul Dano and Michelle Williams play his parents. This kid named Gabriel LaBelle plays Sammy Fableman, who's young Spielberg. And the movie focuses on the divorce that Spielberg's parents went through and how he as a kid used filmmaking to control the narrative of what that was like for him. So we basically see a young Spielberg at a very formative age trying to dissect real life problems through filmmaking. And so what's interesting about it is you're kind of seeing the birth of where these movies came from. If you actually go back and look at films like Close Encounters or E.T., all of the family drama that's centered around those films, Spielberg wasn't like knowingly putting that stuff in there, but it's like subconsciously he was kind of working out that stuff. James Lipton, one of the greatest interviewers ever, who passed away, he actually told Spielberg that his parents were, you know, were the aliens essentially in Close Encounters, and Spielberg didn't even realize it until James Lipton made the connection. So now what's crazy is he's actually now knowingly making a film that is dealing with his past. So it's an interesting situation. It's a, if you love movies, obviously it's a beautiful like message about films, but it also is a cautionary tale about how art and life are a juggling act. And like you guys know, I mean, like anybody who's in a business of entertainment or anything, there's always a juggle between the work you do and your family life. And like, you know, on that level, especially like someone like Spielberg, you know, how do you juggle that? And that's kind of what he was, you know, going through as a kid. So the movie's amazing. Seth Rogen's in it. Judd Hirsch is phenomenal. I gave it a 5 out of 5.
Judd Hirsch is still cranking out movies. That dude's got to be like, he's got to be close to 90, right?
Dude, so Judd Hirsch, he has, you know, probably the most pivotal, important scene in the film. He shows up for a very short moment in the movie, and it's so impactful. But yeah, you're right. I think what Taxi was his
he
big
was
thing.
He was mauled in Taxi. Used to love that show.
And then was he in Sidney Lumet's couple of Sidney Lumet's films too?
I'm trying to remember. Hold on, you're breaking out Sidney Lumet's name like he's Spielberg.
Wait, dude, you know Sidney Lumet is right.
Nope. No.
I mean, not in this room.
Wait a second.
Hold on. You're acting like
this.
That's
Q rating
like
is not high.
Name?
If it's even a guy, it could be a girl.
Yeah, I don't even know. Like,
give me a second here. Let me walk you through for 2 seconds this guy's filmography.
All right.
12 Angry Men, the original.
Okay, haven't seen it.
Prince of the City. He did Dog Day Afternoon.
Okay, I know Dog Day Afternoon.
Serpico.
Okay, I've heard of it. Never seen it.
Long Day's Journey and Tonight.
He did The Verdict and Network.
The Verdict, Network.
Heard of Network.
Sidney Lumet is a genius.
Yeah, but his prime was the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, he's not my guy. Okay.
Hey, he's more famous than Taylor Heineken, whatever the guy's name is.
Not in our world, he's not.
Not anywhere.
You know what? Michael Bay, greater than sign, Sid the Kid, whoever this person is.
How old is Sidney Lumet? How old is he? Is he dead?
He's like 100.
He's got to be 100.
He passed away now.
He was born in 1924.
Oh, yeah. He's 98.
He's doing silent films. Yeah. He directed some silly silent films.
He did movies in hieroglyphics. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm sure Dog Day Afternoon's not a good movie. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Yeah. All right, so you got 5 movies. Fablemans.
Got the best out of... who's the silent? Charlie Chaplin. Yeah.
5 out of 5 for Fablemans.
Directed Nosferatu.
Yeah.
Not a shock. He gives a 5 out of 5 to a Spielberg movie. That's your guy. You just sent me your list of movies. Bones and All. What is that?
Oh, you guys are in for a real treat on this one. This movie, I've been watching movies all my life.
Yes, you cried.
No. I almost vomited.
Oh, really? Like Human Centipede-esque?
Yes.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. Human Centipede is one of those movies that's just disgusting for disgusting's sake.
Sure.
But when you actually watch a film that you're emotionally connected to narratively and then disgusting things happen, it's even more brutal. So this is about two young cannibals who fall in love. And so Timothée Chalamet and Taylor Russell.
That's really relatable.
Five young cannibals selling in the 80s.
Dude, I'm telling you. There was a couple cannibal corpses in this one.
Thomas concise.
So Timothée Chalamet and Taylor Russell, they're these young kids who essentially are cannibals. They find each other and they eat people. It's like vampires. It's like Twilight. So think about like Edward and Bella. Like they can, or Edward can only feed on, you know, vampire things.
These right.
Kids can only, that's like their main thing. They have to have it apparently. So, but the movie's directed by a guy named Luca who did Call Me By Your Name. And I'll tell you right now, when this film ended, I looked down and I said, how in the hell did this film get made through a major studio? Like it is, Mark Rylance is in it. It's one of the most disturbing, most brutal, most just horrifying films. But at the same time, the love story's great, and the performances are great, and the filmmaking is great. So there's this interesting juxtaposition as you're watching it of, like, you look away during some of the disturbing scenes and they're eating people, but then you can't not look away when you're watching the love story. So it's like this push-pull of, like, disturbing and bittersweet, but really horrifying. And so I think it's a well-made movie. I gave it a 4, but I want to make sure I tell people that I'm not telling you to go see this, because it's just not a film I would recommend to anybody. It's just so brutal, but it is well-made. So that's kind of where I'm at with that one.
All right, so just look at the list. Knives Out 2, there's a sequel.
Yeah, Glass Onion. So this is actually interesting. I'm glad we're talking about this. So today through the 29th, next Tuesday, you only have 6 or 7 days, whatever it would be, to see this movie in theaters. I discussed this with you guys last week. Cakes, you said that you were going to wait for the Netflix release. So it comes out December 23rd on Netflix. So that kind of poses a question. If you love the first Knives Out and it's available for you right now in a theater, and the Knives Out films are brilliant theatrical experiences, like, they're awesome to see with a crowd, this one is incredible, very different from the first one. The only constant is Daniel Craig. His character's back, but it's a new case, new characters, Kate Hudson, Edward Norton. It's Rian Johnson, who wrote and directed the original, the first one. Netflix paid $450 million for two of these, so this is the first one. And so what's kind of historical about this is, since they spent that amount of money, Netflix has not been able to play their movies in AMCs and Regals because of the theatrical window of they want a certain theatrical exclusivity. So basically, Netflix was like, well, what if we gave you a week of the movie and then waited a month for the streaming? And the question is going to be, how well will it do? But Cakes's point is kind of where I'm leaning towards people's feelings about it. If it's coming out on Netflix in a month, I don't know.
Depends if you want the movie experience or not. All right, give us your ratings. We don't have much time here. I already wrote your rating down. I want to see if I'm correct.
4.5.
Oh, wrong. I had 3.5 down.
No, apparently.
No, 4.5. Wow. That's strong rating.
It's incredible. Like, if you love the first Knives Out and that whole whodunit aspect, this movie delivers, and it's so much different than the first one. So you're not getting the first one again, but you're getting that same feeling of the unraveling.
Which one did you like better?
Yeah, which is better? Answer.
Right now, they're on even playing fields for me.
Very diplomatic answer.
Yeah. All right, two more movies. You got Banshees and Strange World.
All right, so Strange World, let's just get that out of the way. This is an animated film. This is Jake Gyllenhaal, Dennis Quaid. It's a group of explorers who are family members, and the idea of legacy and following in your parents' footsteps. It's fine. It's an animated kids movie that, you know, looks beautiful, but I didn't find it to be particularly special in any realm other than it was entertaining. So I gave it a 3.5 out of 5. It's fine. It's good. It's just not like I probably wouldn't go to, like, a full ticket price version of that. If your kids really want to see it, maybe go to a matinee, like on an early showing on a weekend or something, because it is kid friendly. It's definitely a kids movie for sure.
All right, and Banshees.
Oh yeah. All right, you guys. Wait, is Jason there today or not?
He's not. He'll be back on Monday, I think.
All right. So, do you guys remember a movie called In Bruges?
Of course I do. It's a great movie.
Silly movie, right? And that's Colin Farrell. And so this is the same director as In Bruges. She also did 7 Psychopaths and a movie called, that movie, 3 Billboards, that won like a bunch of Oscars. So when I set the plot up for this, you guys are going to think this sounds boring, but I need you to imagine how good of these actors are Brendan Gleeson and Colin Farrell. Like, they're just phenomenal actors.
They're great.
So the premise is really this. It's called The Banshees of Inisherin. This is in theaters. It's two best friends who live in Inisherin. It's like off the coast of Ireland. I need to double check on the geography. I apologize if I have that wrong. I just saw it over the weekend. And they're best friends. And then the movie opens, and randomly, Brendan Gleeson's character says, "I don't like you anymore. I don't want to be your friend anymore." And so the entire drama of the film is Colin Farrell trying to figure out, after all these years, why he would do this. And the whole point of the film comes down to legacy and getting to a point in your life where you know you're on the other side of your time, and you're kind of going towards death. And, like, what you want to do at that time, what you want to leave behind. But then you have this friendship that's so such a big deal to them. Anyway, so but the film itself is brilliant. It's smart. It's so interesting to watch these two together. It's almost like you're almost watching a fight, but with dialogue. And so it's so well done. And if you loved In Bruges and saw Three Billboards, this is one of the best films of the year. And I think Colin Farrell genuinely delivers maybe the best performance of his career in this movie. It is just an incredibly beautiful film about humanity and people. And there's a film coming out later this year called The Whale with Brendan Fraser, where he plays a 600-pound character who's in his apartment, and it's directed by a guy named Darren Aronofsky. You guys know Darren Aronofsky, who did like Requiem for a Dream and stuff. But it's all about humanity. And I think a lot of these films this year are about that and the balance and the juggle of life. I think Brendan Fraser is going to win the Oscar this year, no question. But that's a whole nother story. But if you haven't seen Banshees of Inisherin, it's in theaters now. If you love those other films I mentioned, it's awesome. Just
so I'm assuming a 5 out of 5 for Banshees?
4.5. 4.5.
Oh, 4.5.
And okay. I do got to tell you, like, when you sit down for that film, I mean, the plot I just explained to you doesn't sound that interesting. It's just the way it's performed. And it's like, it's this, like, I'm like, honestly, imagine this for one second. I know we have to go, but imagine you guys walked in the studio one day and you guys are doing your show and Cakes just looked at you guys and said, I don't like y'all anymore. I don't want to be your friends anymore. And just rolled out and said, don't talk to me or I'm going to do something horrible. I mean, but just imagine all the years you guys have spent together.
They'd be butt sliced. They'd be chopping the checks three ways.
No.
Instead of four.
That's pretty funny, actually. No, but I honestly, that's kind of what you have to imagine. Imagine one of your best friends coming up to you and just not even giving you a reason and just saying, I don't like you and we're not friends anymore. If you talk to me, I'm going to do something horrible to myself. That's kind of the premise.
All right, Calvin. 5 out of 5
sounds
for the
cheery.
Fablemans, 4.5 for Knives Out 2 and the Banshees movie, 4 for Bones and All, the two cannibals that fall in love, and then 3.5 for Strange World, which is the animated classic. All right, man, happy Thanksgiving, bro.
Happy Thanksgiving to you guys. Let me tell you something right now. If you do go see Bones and All, there are 3 scenes in that film that I wish I could go somewhere and have them erased from my memory.
Like, all right, Kevin.
No, not going to see
about,
that.
Like,
not
imagine, hey, don't worry. We won't go see it.
Yeah, we won't see that. Trust
imagine,
us.
Imagine an older gentleman running around in tidy whities eating people.
Okay. That's all I need to hear.
Awful.
All right. Yeah.
All right, Kevin. All right, see you, buddy.
It's Kevin McCarthy. Happy Thanksgiving.
Win.
All right.
Sidney Lumet or Lumet, whoever that guy hack is.
Hey, you know who Peter LaViolette is?
I do know who
he's
that
is. He's head coach
of
the Capitals. He will join us at 7:45. We have our Junkies Turkey Parlay coming up at 8:45. And we'll give you our predictions on Falcons Commanders. That's at 9 o'clock, all right here on the Junkies.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. A little late coming back. I was editing for the Sports Junkies Radio Instagram page a clip from the movie, and then I put a quote Kevin said about The Fabelmans, one of the best films of the year. But I also quoted him saying about The Banshees movie, one of the best films of the year.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I mean, you can still have two best films of the year in the same reviews, but...
Well, let me just say this. There's no chance I go see The Fabelmans about Steven Spielberg not getting dates in high school and then filming everything on an 8mm camera. I don't care.
No.
I don't care about that. Now, the Banshees movie intrigues me. And there's no chance I'm going to go see a movie about cannibals eating people.
And falling in love.
Yeah,
cannibals fall in love.
I mean, it's just not going to happen.
The only intriguing thing there would be, do they eat each other?
I don't know. If they're in love with each other, I'm guessing they probably don't eat each other.
But they may be torn because that's
probably
the way that
they eat others. And I would never become a cannibal unless I was on the plane crash in the movie Alive, like those donks from the rugby team from somewhere in South America.
I think it was Chile.
They had to eat their teammates to survive.
Yes.
I mean, it's the only way they're getting off that mountain.
Speaking of teammates, the Commanders, we had Jonathan Allen in the studio. He gets a teammate back. Now, he's been practicing the last couple weeks, but Chase Young has been activated. Not 100% sure if he's going to play. Do you think he will be impactful if he plays?
No.
You do not. You have no hope on Chase.
Not anytime soon.
You've been out on Chase pretty much since... I'd say week three last year.
I mean, they activated
year.
Him because they had to within that window, mm-hmm. but
sound promising.
I'd be surprised if he even plays.
I mean, it sounds like, Jack said 2 weeks ago he doesn't have the same get off. You know, he's kind of light years away from where they want him to be. At least that was sort of the last reports we heard. They had done all they could in terms of the rehab and everything. He's got all the strength back and everything, but it's just about, you know, getting back into football shape and that sort of thing. It takes a while to come back from these injuries. You don't just come back right away unless you're Adrian Peterson. Most people don't. And if you look at what he did last year, it is still stunning to realize that, you know, he got hurt in week 9. He had a sack and a half. He had a sack in week 5 and had half a sack in week 6. He was blanked in the first, second, third, and fourth weeks, and he was blanked in his last 3 games. You want to look at other stats? He had 3 tackles for loss last year. 3. He did nothing last year. It was a monster bust. So am I expecting anything and maybe some limited action this weekend?
Nope. I think in some of the analytics, like, he looked a little bit better than looking at those raw statistics. If you were to look at some of like the Pro Football Stuff and pressuring the quarterback, and I think against the run, he was a little bit better. But
I don't have great expectations, but I do think if they say, hey, Chase, this is all we need you to do because our defense has been really, really good without you. Just, we're going to put you in on, you know, third and longs. We'll put you on obvious passing downs and just go do what you do best and go after the quarterback. Now, understand, the sacks weren't there, but it's kind of weird. And maybe Jonathan Allen has convinced me of this. He always talks about how hard it is to sack the quarterback, that you play like thousands of plays hundreds of plays, and you might end up with, you know, a dozen sacks, that's a great year, right? Mm-hmm. Montez Sweat at one point this season, when we were just looking at that raw sacks number, it was like nothing, but people kept saying that Montez was playing great, and now all of a sudden you look at the sacks numbers, and it's better.
Decent. I think he's got like six.
Right, but that's not terrible.
Not terrible.
But like a few games ago, I think he had like zero. So it's like kind of coming in bunches here for Montez Sweat. I don't know. I think that he can help the defense. I would expect him to have a little impact, but I don't think he's going to get that many plays. Like if he's on the field, I think he'll be on for like 15 plays and it's going to be, you know, third and longs. But I think he can help you there.
As long as he stays committed to the system, doesn't outrun his guy or beat his guy outside and then leave a gaping hole.
I mean, the second season was bad, but the first season was strong.
It was okay. It was good.
The first season we saw glimpses of what you want, like a good pass rusher who's deflecting passes, making an impact, pressuring the quarterback.
In his rookie year, I think still... Listen, I'm sorry. The great ones, you can say all you want about PFF and everything. The great ones are graded by sacks.
Sacks and impactful plays. Like, did you see TJ Watt's interception this week?
No.
Incredible. Right. Incredible interception.
Yeah, are they disruptive? Do they have a bunch of tackles
like
for losses?
Like, the odds of a defensive lineman, I think Burrow was throwing it. I think Burrow didn't think it was a possibility that TJ Watt could get up and grab a ball kind of behind him. And Burrow it wasn't like some sort of like screen pass that he picked off. He was trying to drive the ball to a receiver, and TJ Watt, perfect timing, got up and like makes this incredible play.
Those are fluky too, because
true.
Like they're so close. Like the ball, it's tough for those guys, even if you're a freak out.
Well, that was
like
incredible about with JJ Watt, but
to have the reflexes to make that play.
Point is, you do at least want to see some of that from Chase Young, and you saw glimpses of that as a rookie.
Glimpses, but again, it's 16 games, and he played all 16. He had 7.5 sacks. That's not, I mean, maybe they put him in the Pro Bowl. I can't remember, but that's not like.
No.
That's
no,
not
we
like
were
great.
Always.
He was Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Okay.
We were always
the best of a bad lot of rookies, apparently.
We were always somewhat disappointed that Kerrigan would end up with like 10 or 11 every year.
Right. I mean, it's 7.5, and he had 1.5 last year. Sorry, great players are evaluated. Great defensive ends are evaluated on your sack.
Yes. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. Call us in the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Chase Young has been activated. We don't know if he's going to be on the field. They had to activate him based on the league rules and when they brought him off
their
list
window
and all that sort of thing. So he could still practice and then not play in the game.
Right.
But he plays. What are your expectations?
I'm not even convinced. They're desperate to play him. Because, like I said, Casey Tuhill's played pretty well. James Smith Williams played pretty well. Effie Obada's had limited snaps. He's played pretty well.
If he's healthy, if he's 100% and he's doing what you need to see in practice, he has to play over those guys because you don't draft a guy number two to sit him behind the likes of James Smith Williams.
Right, but here we are,
Casey Tuhill.
We're in the middle of a playoff push. Are we going to experiment at this point by putting a guy coming back from a major knee injury?
If you feel like he's 100%, if I'm Jack Del Rio, I'm experimenting with probably the best athlete on my defense.
I wouldn't play him that much.
I'm willing to experiment.
I wouldn't play him that much.
No, but if he's
15 to 20 snaps, max.
If you feel like he's healthy and he can, you know, take the full load, you get him out there. If he's not healthy, he's not 100%. You just keep him on the sidelines in a t-shirt until he is ready.
I think he's healthy. I don't think that's the issue. It's just that, is he game ready? Is he football ready, right? Is he that's what they're leading us to believe.
Yeah.
Is he taking the pounding? You know, is he able to move 300-pound offensive linemen the way he wants?
Well, the only way you're going to figure it out is if you put him out there and see if he can actually do it.
Yep. 800-636-1067. What are your expectations for Chase Young? So I just looked up his PFF grades. As a rookie, he had an 87.2. It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Last year was 75.1. That's not terrible. He did force a couple of fumbles, which was tied for 13th in the league.
I'm pretty sure that, by the way, Chase Young, he is the last guy that's his age. I'm guessing he's 23, 22 or 23, I'm guessing his age, to wear earbuds that have wires. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Every kid you see his age has wireless earbuds.
Those are back, Cakes.
They're back?
Yes.
I actually prefer them because the other numbers fall out of my ears.
I missed this memo. I didn't know this was a thing.
I prefer them.
I thought he was getting passed by all his
assistant temporaries. I actually told my kids, for Christmas, if they want to get their dad something, they can go to TJ Maxx or Marshall's, right. Be cheap, or Target, and get me the ones with the frame around the earbud.
No, keep
them locked in my big ears.
Okay.
Eric, you got to get this little plastic thing that you hook up to your AirPods or whatever you're using, and it hooks into your ear.
Ooh.
And so they don't fall out if you run or work out.
That's what I'm talking about.
No. It's not on the outside. It's in the inside. Mm. And it holds it in place on the inside.
Maybe.
I'll show you an Amazon link.
I'm with you, EB, because, you know, I don't run a ton, but I run a decent amount, and the regular old earbuds sometimes will fall out. Especially if I run over 4 miles and you start getting, like, sweaty, it's always
dicey.
I've
been on my bike before, and they fall out, and then I'm panicked.
Right. You gotta go find them on the floor.
Because it bounces around on the grass.
Don't go in a sewer.
I don't know where it's going.
Yeah. Tough to find.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a little bit jarring seeing that. I saw that. I was like, well, what's he doing?
It looks like
he's 60.
It might be a smart move, too, because God only knows about all that Bluetooth, how that is on our brain.
Yeah.
Cakes, if I give you 15 Chase Young snaps, he's on the field for 15 plays.
15. It's not
will he have? Will he have even one or two impactful plays?
15 plays?
Yes.
Maybe one.
He'd have one. I'd give him one. Just because of the rust factor, he's just getting his feet wet, getting back acclimated.
We're playing so well defensively, like collectively, as a unit.
It's a sack.
Why are we going to muck that up?
Because he might make it better.
Put the freelancer in.
Make it better.
Well, hopefully he's been read the Riot Act. That's a very old saying. by Jack and the staff, telling him, look, you can't just make it all about yourself. You got to play within the framework of the defense. Hopefully he's learned that.
All right, let's go to Anthony in Gaithersburg. Anthony, what's up, man? You're on with the Junks.
Yeah, hey, guys. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
Thanks, sir.
I just wanted to say that, sorry about that. I just wanted to say that Chase Young's a rare talent, and the guys that we had coming in before with his injury, we didn't know about them. We were really, really iffy. We thought we had a big hole there. And I think Chase Young coming back with Daron Payne and Allen, how they're playing right now, he's going to be on fire. It's going to set that end free, just like all the other guys.
And remember, the rap was always, he's getting doubled. Uh-huh. I doubt you double Chase Young anymore when you got Montez Sweat, Payne, and Allen coming at you.
No, you can't afford to double him at this point, this defense is playing.
That would free him up, you would think. I'm looking at, so Montez has 6 sacks. I'm sorry. I'm an old school guy. I like sacks.
I agree. I like to look at the raw numbers.
I like sacks.
I mean, I think Bosa leads the league.
When I look at baseball stats, I'm not really looking at their OPS.
I mean,
I'm looking at dingers. I'm looking at RBI. I'm looking at average.
The Triple Crown. They don't give the Triple Crown to the OPS or WAR.
When I look at it, you know, I'm not looking at his win rate. I'm looking at, did you get any sacks? Did you defend any balls? Did you make any tackles for loss?
But aren't you not buying into when Jonathan Allen says sacks are fluky? Like, he said that on the show a billion times. I mean, the stud defensive lineman who obviously knows more football than us.
Of course.
He says sacks are fluky.
Kind of, but over time, if you put yourself in the right position, you're going to get a bunch.
Usually they're the best players.
What?
TJ Watt would disagree.
Yeah. Usually the best players
Nick
do
Bosa,
get sacks.
All the Bosas.
I'm a Jonathan Allen guy, so whatever he says is gospel to me.
Matthew Judon leads the league, by the way, with 13 sacks right now. Bosa's got 10.5. Micah Parsons has got 10.
I would also say Jonathan Allen's job description is a little bit different than Chase's, right? He's an interior guy.
Yeah, he's not expected to get double-digit sacks from where he's playing.
He's a little bit different.
Right. Your edge rushers, your outside linebackers, your defensive ends, those are the guys you expect to get some sacks.
Alex, real quick, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
I'm going to tell you exactly what's going to happen. They're going to put Chase Young in. We're going to go on a huge losing streak.
All because of Chase?
Yes.
All right.
But he's not going to play that much. If he starts screwing everything up, they're going to yank him, dude.
He's not going to be the reason they lose.
I don't think so. Dude, I'm not even convinced he's going to play.
I'm not convinced of that either.
I'm not convinced at all. I wouldn't be surprised at all if you still see him in sweats and in a t-shirt out there.
Just inactive on Sunday.
Just inactive
he's
on Sunday.
Just not ready.
Just still not ready.
Coming up next, we will shift and talk some puck. Peter Laviolette, head coach of the Capitals, next on the Junkies.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. Join now on the BetQL Guest Hotline, Bet Smarter and Beat the Books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com by Peter Laviolette, head coach of your Washington Capitals. He's presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More locations, more advanced care centered around one thing, you. Visit CFAOrtho.com. Good morning, coach.
Morning, guys.
Happy Thanksgiving in advance. You know, when we play this intro song, I actually think of your family. When we first started having you on the show, you said you had a text chain to decide what intro song you would end up with. I think this was your father's choice, if I recall.
It was my dad's choice.
How does the Laviolette family celebrate Thanksgiving? Is it all separated? What happens?
Well, I mean, extended family. I mean, I actually have my niece coming down, my sister's daughter, and so that's kind of cool. She's bringing her husband and their baby, and they're gonna be here for Thanksgiving and watch some games. My wife's mom is here, and two of my kids are home. My oldest son, who's in Wheeling, West Virginia, playing hockey. I'm not sure if he'll make it or not. So we got some friends in town too, and so it'll be nice.
Over the years, have you ever opened up a spot at the table for like
Cakes? Your mic's not working.
Your microphone's not working.
What was
Cakes.
Your question? Is he over the spot at his Thanksgiving table?
Yeah, for like a player.
Oh, yeah. Like, are any like players player. Come by, coach?
So, not a player, but one of my coaches is joining me for Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay.
Has in the past. I've had coaches over before in the past, and you know, it's been nice. Maybe a player one time.
Right.
Are you always head of the table?
Yeah, I mean, I think so.
He's the top dog.
Can't make the assistant coach head of the table. No, it's your house. Sounds like a lot of people, by the way.
If we were going by the ranking in the house, my wife would sit at the head of the table.
Right, that's true. I'll sit
where she tells me to sit.
Well, she's doing the heavy lifting, I'm guessing, for the Thanksgiving meal.
She does all of it.
This
is a very important
holiday. Yeah, she gets into the holiday. She loves decorating and all that stuff. So it'll be a lot of fun. Like we said, we got friends and we got a coach there and his family, some friends. And it'll be a good group for dinner. We're going to come in and work a little bit tomorrow morning. But so that means I get to avoid all the heavy lifting at home and just walk in for the meal. So that's kind of nice.
All right, so you got the Flyers tonight. Tell us about that game.
Well, I mean, two teams that are probably in the same boat. They're trying to dig out a little bit. They're banged up. We got to try and take advantage of that and get ourselves on track with a win here as well. So they're playing hard, and they're not finding ways to win. And we've got to make sure we're ready to play. They're going to be ready to play. That's for sure. I can tell you that.
I'm sure you're aware of all the numbers and the analytics, but one thing that I saw, and we had Lars Eller on the show yesterday, and he said the offense needs to be better, is shot percentage was very low for this team. How do you improve upon that?
Are you talking about like the actual shooting percentage of each player, and which ultimately is your team shooting percentage?
Yes.
I mean, we're firing. There's more people at the net, more traffic. Tips, rebounds, heads up when plays inside of the scoring area. So I think there's things that you can do. We just got to continue to push offensively and try to, create more, not to create more because we're creating, but to actually to score more. I think traffic sometimes has to do with it, but a lot of games our traffic's been pretty good and we just haven't been able to put it home. So, I think it's one of those things that moves throughout the season. You know, sometimes you're scoring a lot of goals and sometimes you're not. And we seem to be in one of those areas where in certain games we're not scoring enough. There's times where we're not creating enough. But, you know, in two of the last three games, I thought we created quite a bit and we still weren't able to get wins. And so we just got to keep pushing.
Coach, you had a three-day gap between the Avs game and tonight's tilt with the Flyers. First multi-day break since late October. Yeah. I'm guessing that was much needed for you, the staff, and for the players to try to get healthy heading into tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Did you say healthy?
trying to.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think we're a little bit longer term on the health issues. You know, Oshie's probably the one that, is starting to gear up towards our team here where he's practiced on a line the last couple of days, and we'll get an evaluation on where he's at this morning when he comes in. But, you know, the rest I think is still off in the distance a little bit. But I think the break was good. The time off was good. We practiced for 2 days. You work on a little bit of everything. You work on conditioning. You work on competitiveness and battles. You work on 3-on-3, 4-on-4, 5-on-5. And power play and penalty kill got a lot of attention over the last 2 days. And so you just, looking to just continue to work on things to bring it into the game. Talk about Philadelphia and things that might work inside of this game. And you work on that a little bit in practice as well. Yesterday, we actually, because we were in a stretch of time where we were on the ice, played the game, we actually practiced the 2 days prior to yesterday. And then yesterday, we took the day off to try and make sure the guys come in refreshed today and lots of energy and ready to go.
So Coach Connor McMichael sent down to Hershey on Sunday. Yeah. He appeared in 6 games with the Caps. He's still just 21. Your quote was, he's just got to play. Did we expect too much from him too soon, especially with his
fans definitely do.
With his gaudy numbers in juniors?
Yeah, so, the way the season started off and training camp, and it's an open table for anybody to show what they want to do. There might be a player that pops up and makes more noise, and you're looking at that player. And I think Mikey had a good training camp. He came into the season and he got some games. It wasn't a lot of ice time. You know, it was when you're playing, you know, underneath that top line that Ovi's on, which probably gets 15 minutes of even strength time, the time drops off pretty quick. And, you know, you're down to 12, 11 or 10 minutes, 10, you know, 11, 10, 9, something like that per game. And if you're not on the power play and the penalty kill, then, you know, there's not a lot of time where you can pick up extra minutes. And so he's, the games that he did get in probably maybe hard to keep a rhythm too, but only playing 9 or 10 minutes a game and just, you know, looking for that impact. And just feel like that a young player like that really needs to play. He needs to play in all situations and continue to develop. And, you know, oftentimes going down and playing in the American Hockey League, you start to play 21 minutes, you start to put up some points, you're on the power play, you're out there to win a game with a minute to go, you start killing some penalties and just get more involved and take on minutes and continue to develop. We've just been hit with, you know, injuries here, and we picked up some guys along the way, and I think it's the right time for him just to go down and play some games. I think he was excited to go down and take on some minutes and have fun and play the game and continue to develop. So that's where he's at right now, and we hope he ramps it up and gets going, because, you know, there's a chance that we're going to need him down the road here.
All right, Coach, best of luck tonight and happy Thanksgiving.
Have a good holiday, you guys. Take care.
All right, buddy.
This is Coach Peter LaViolette, presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More locations, more advanced care centered around one thing, you. Visit CFAOrtho.com.
That was a pretty muted Coach LaViolette there.
Need some dubs. He's desperate for some W's.
Pretty mellow.
Coming up next, best-selling author and Washington Post columnist John Feinstein on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.